because I don't know if anybody's planned a special and didn't get to tell me. So if you have a special, just raise your hand and let me know. I don't want to miss anyone. There's a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison's door, sets the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up within my soul. Sing that again. Oh, there's a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison's door, sets the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up. Song, glad day when I was born again. Oh, glad day when I was born again. Was a glad, glad day when I was born again. Was a glad day when I was born again. Was a glad day when I was born again. The sins. The sins I used to do, I do them no more. The sins I used to do, I do them no more. The sins I used to do, I do them no more. It was a glad day when I was born again. Oh, glad day. Oh, glad. Let's enter our feet. We're going to sing God is Good all the time. I know it's not in our sheets, but let's sing it in the key of C. And we're singing this. Sister Johnny's watching in. We're singing it to dedicate it to her. I know that she loved this song. Brother Dale loved the song as well. So I'm sure he's in the portals of glory listening. Amen. But we're going to sing it for Sister Johnny. Amen. And so we're just going to singing fast, okay? With the chorus. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good time through the darkest night. His light will shine. God is good. Our God is good all the time. Sing that first verse. If you're walking through the valley, there are shadows all around. Do not fear, He will guide you, He will keep you safe and sound. He has promised to never leave you. Take you, and His word is true. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. Sing that second verse. We were sinners. Oh, we were sinners, and so unworthy. Still for us He chose to die. Filled us with His Holy Spirit. Now we can stand and testify. Mercies, they will never end. God is good. Let's all stand to our feet. All the time He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good, our God is good all the time. Sing that again as Brother Wade comes. Oh, God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time.
Never changes. How about that? He never changes. He's always good. We were talking downstairs between services. He just can't change His mind. Praise God. We can change ours, but God can't change His mind. Oh, thank God for that. He's the most constant, consistent thing you'll ever have in your life. He is. Now, we're not, but He's the most constant, He's just dependable. He'll never back off. Now, He backs up His word, but He'll never back off of it. Amen. So we are children born by the breath of God, as we were talking about this morning. And we sure appreciate all of you coming. We appreciate the the prayers for Sister June and all the good food that y'all sent. You just keep sending it. We'll keep eating it. But just remember her. She's doing very well. This is she's only been a week and a few days, so Tuesday, I think, is 2 weeks. So, happy Labor Day. Y'all just go ahead and labor. I'm leaving this afternoon. As soon as we get finished, I'm going to Illinois to plant some food plots. So just pray for us as we journey. We've got to come back on Tuesday and go to work. But God is good. Amen. All the time. Just remember, Brother Bob is at Brother Dutch's this weekend, and he'll be speaking next Sunday. One service. Now, the order of the service is, we had our meeting today, is we're going to start at 10 o'clock instead of 9:45. We'll start at 10 o'clock, have Brother Ryan do the opening service, and then Brother Bob or whoever's doing Sunday school will have the 30 minutes after that. And we can now say 30-ish, 20-ish, not 30 minutes and cut it off. We might have a little extra time now since it won't be a second service, but we're going to sing and worship and ask the Lord to come among us. It's much better when you're worshiping. The word can come forth much better, clearer. So we're going to do that starting next Sunday, and we'll do all of our specials then Sunday morning, and Brother Joe will be able to lead you through that next weekend, and then we'll have worship afterwards. We won't have to turn around and go home, and we won't have to bump up against the second service. So we're gonna see how that works. Remember, I'll be speaking Wednesday night. Brother Boyd and Brother Anderson and myself are going to the men's meeting. Now, there is one slot left that Brother Anderson paid for two slots, actually. And someone's not going. So if anybody would like to go, it's Friday, Saturday, and come back on Sunday. And it's a men's meeting. And Brother Boyd said he really had a great opportunity a couple of years ago to go. And it really helped him a lot. So just men. Brings all the men together and got them all together. So we're leaving Friday at 12 o'clock from here. Friday, 12 o'clock from here. We're going to meet here, and then we'll drive up 441. It's in Newport, Tennessee, is where we're going. So we'll have to be there at 5, but we're going to stop and get something to eat. We'll leave about 12. So if you want to go, let Brother Anderson know there's an extra slot left. The church will pay for it. And if you want to go, bring somebody. And Brother Anderson's driving his big old red truck, so we're going to all go, Cowboys. Wear your boots. We're going to all go as Cowboys and have a good time in the Lord. But we'll be back on Sunday evening. Brother Aaron will be speaking for us next Wednesday. Then the ministers' meeting will be here the next Saturday, the 14th at 10 o'clock. And then on the 21st, the next Saturday, Brother Solomon Huffman will be here for our youth service. And then Brother Stephen Wilson will be here for the last weekend in September. He's going to come and be with us for the weekend. So let's just keep those things in mind, and we'll talk about the food and everything for the ministers' meeting. There's several coming from Tucson, Arizona, so we're gonna have I think we'll have a lot of ministers here. So we hadn't had one here, like I said, in 4 or 5 years. So they're coming from around the world. They're gonna hear Brother Bob. Brother Bob's gonna speak during the ministers' meeting. So just pray for him. And him and Brother Jason Watkins are gonna speak the first session, and then we'll have questions and answers. There's a lot that's good in your life. Don't take it for granted. Don't get so focused on the struggles that you miss the gift. Don't get so focused on the struggles that you miss the gift that God's got for you today. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the gifts at Pentecost that we have. They're available for us. Listen, when God gives you a gift, he ain't going to take it back either. But remember, God doesn't do anything unless he's already got it thought out first. So he's not going to give you a gift and you ruin it. Now, you may ruin it, but he's not going to give you the gift and then you not fulfill it. We are absolutely, folks, listen, we're standing on the brink of just maybe even a couple of years and we'll be out of here. We ain't talking 10, 5, 3 maybe. The way things are progressing now, with the way that the new election's coming up, I don't know. We're heading toward We're heading towards some tough times maybe, but it's supposed to be the most glorious time in the life of the bride is the end time. Because it's a fullness. She's fully dressed. She's ready. They've been getting ready for 2,000 years. But remember, this bride has made herself ready. Amen. Through a prophet in the end time to bring us a restored word of God, not a reformed word of God, a restored word of God. I believe it's going to happen, and I believe if I'm not part of it, my eyes are going to see it. One of the two. No, we're going to see this thing to the end. There is nothing else. There's nothing else left. There's no other denomination. There's no other place for us to go. Everybody with me on that? I just believe that. That's my belief, or I wouldn't do this. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for this service we have, a time, Lord, to speak about you. Father, I pray that you do the speaking. Let the people see you, Lord, and not a man standing behind here, Lord, with all kind of faults and failures and ideas, Lord, contrary to you. Father, I pray that you'd just take over today. Lord, take over the speaking, but also take over the hearing. Lord, as you did on the day of Pentecost, you took over the hearing. Lord, I pray that we hear from you, Lord. We hear what the Spirit says to the church. Father, forgive us of our many mistakes. Lord, be with the ones that are sick. Be with the ones on the highways. Brother Bob coming home there from Brother Dutch's. Different places. We got them scattered around. Lord, I pray that you'd bring them back home safe. Father, just be with us now to further the service in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to talk a little bit about the gifts. Joel 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterwards. Now listen, God's word is never going to fail, right? Right. It's going to come to pass. Amen. Whether we want to or not. Right. All right, we were talking downstairs. Brother Joe Canada brought out a good point. God's got a permissive will. Yes. Right. You just saw it. Moses, it said when you were watching the screen here. Moses got in the permissive will of God. But it's always going to work to the perfect will of God. It's not going to work permissive all the time. It's got to come to a perfect will of God. And we'll read this today where Paul said we do this in part, we do this in part, we prophesy in part, but that which is perfect is come, that which is in part to be done away. All right? So we believe the perfect one is here, not coming. We believe the perfect one is here. All right? It says, it will come to pass that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and the handmaid in those days will I pour out my spirit. You may be seated, and the Lord adds blessing to the reading of the word. Acts 2, verse 1 says, when the day of, I can fly now, Luis don't have to interpret, so he can rest for a little bit. Go for it, brother. Thanks. Okay. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Do you know who wrote that? You know who wrote the book of Acts? Luke. He wasn't there. That's truly by revelation. There appeared. In the vision he saw, there appeared cloven tongues over their head. Now, whether they saw them when they were sitting there or not, I don't know. We've seen the pillar of fire. We've seen it. We got pictures of the pillar of fire. But I believe it looked like the pillar of fire. Little licks of fire over every one of them. And it wasn't different. It wasn't different licks. It was the same lick of fire. And sat on each of them, 120 of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost right then. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So as we were talking this morning, it's important to know that if God said the Alpha Bride and Omega Bride was going to be the same, he had to develop one just as he developed the other one. All right? So there had to be a Pentecost. There had to be this time right here where in Jerusalem there was thousands of people there. They had never heard of this Holy Ghost thing. That some knew Jesus had come, thought he was just a good man, thought he was this, but he's disappeared. Even his body's gone. There's nothing to show he's living here anymore. But there's 120 people did what he said. They went to the upper room. He said, go and wait on the Holy Spirit or until you're endued with power from on high. Well, see, that's where truly, as we're reading that Azusa Street, how the Azusa Street, you know, they always called, they had a tarry room. Well, that's what they would do. If you wanted to receive the Holy Ghost, there'd be a room on the side of the church, and you go tarry there and wait. Pray, sing, do whatever until the Holy Ghost fell on you or people laid hands on you. And that's where you, that's why he said, tarry. They went to the upper room and they tarry. That's where they get that from. You don't have to do that. That was just a something they came up with. You don't have to do that. You don't have to go in a room and do some formula or wait on something. You can get the Holy Ghost right where you're sitting. That's what happened on after Pentecost. There was a man preaching a sermon, and the Holy Ghost fell on the group of people, and they received the Holy Ghost. Amen. All right? Now, we know it's for you can lay on hands. We know there's different things you can do, but you can receive it right there in your seat. I wasn't even in a church when I received the Holy Ghost. Brother Branham wasn't either. He was on a railroad, or he was in a somewhere, and he said that one guy. Remember, he went out in a pig pen and got that Holy Ghost out in a pig pen. Or that's not a good place to be, but it's a good place to be if that's where the Holy Ghost is. If you're going to receive it, that's a great place to be. And sometimes God will put you in that place. He knows what we need. I want y'all to know that He knows what we need. Before we even breathe tomorrow's first breath in the morning, He knows what we need. The Holy Ghost is not somebody that will tell you wrong. The Holy Ghost is not somebody that will do you wrong. So everything He does is right. What the problem is we can't get it together sometimes with our own humanity. Because we still are a three-room house. Amen? But we got to yield. We got to yield ourselves to that power. And forget ours. Not my will, but thy will be done. So on the day of Pentecost over here in AD 30, they received the Holy Ghost. Then you look through 2,000 years, man got a hold of it. And like I said before, if you watch that, I don't know if you look, that, go to YouTube and put in Azusa Street. And there's an old black sister that was at the revival and an old black brother. And they're interviewing them. And it's so far back, the interview is done with a little bitty microphone that's got a cord on it. Not even cordless. I think it was back in the 70s. But she said everything was fine till a man got involved. Everything got involved. Got was just fine. She said, just sweet, humble. Said, but man got involved. Wow. If she saw that, if that little sister saw that, it must have happened really, really, I mean, it must have been really bad. Which we know it is, because when Brother Branham walks on the scene, you've not got a Pentecost one denomination. You got probably 100 different factions. Church of God of Prophecy. Some play the piano. Some don't play the piano. Some get the Holy Ghost because of this, and they get the Holy Ghost because of that. And right, Brother Branham, remember, carnal impersonations came out of that Pentecost because... I wasn't kidding this morning. There's two spirits. One's holy and one's not. There's only two spirits. One's holy and one's not. So you can differentiate yourself, but this one over here that's not can act almost like this one that is. Come on, anointed ones at the end time. It can be the true Holy Ghost, but you can be anointed. In your soul, there's got to be something that keeps that out. And who is it? It's the devil. It's your and my idea that's contrary to the Word of God. Instead of yielding and letting God just sweep on through and take care of all of it, we start slamming doors. Well, I do, so pray for me. Isaiah 53, the people, the brothers and sisters, 120. Now, remember, Mary was there, so there was women and men involved, so they all received the Holy Ghost, 120 in the upper room. But remember, they were tutored by God himself, the Holy Ghost, or a Son of Man, told them everything they needed to know during the time. Now, a lot of things they didn't understand, a lot of things they didn't believe. Come on. Where did them other 380 brethren go that saw 500 of them saw him after his resurrection? I mean, come on, let's just be honest. We had Brother Dale for 50-something years. If we used to walk in that door right there in human flesh, post office can burn. I shouldn't have said that. Sorry. I'd never go to work a day in my life. I hang around that guy because he got something. And I want that something. But he was seen of 500 people in that condition from death to life again. And 380 of them just went somewhere else. 120 of them, the only ones that went in the upper room and did what he said. Yeah. So guess what? We got to do what he said. Yeah. Do what he said, don't worry about everything else. So the Holy Ghost, and speaking through Isaiah, is talking about, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. He's the only one that can justify us. We know that. You've got to know that you cannot justify yourself. God is the only one that can justify you so much to where you will not be accounted to that sin. That you'll not ever be accounted to that sin. That's why the blood of Jesus Christ eradicated sin, if we'll just believe it. Those in the Old Testament, they didn't receive the Holy Ghost like you and I did. They had an anointing. Because the blood of bulls and goats, they didn't have enough word to get their soul clean. But when Jesus died, he cleaned up Moses. He cleaned up David. I just realized that. He wiped their slate clean. David's not a murderer no more. David's not a whoremonger no more. Moses is not somebody that Brother Brown said took his own will. No. They're clean, pure. God just brought them right back up. Put their sins in God's forgiveness. Never to be remembered again. Then, boy, you come up to now where you take a fifth-sealed Jew that don't even like Jesus. Now, those people lived a life. They wanted to know who the Messiah was. Moses, Isaiah, all those different ones. David, Samson. They all had flaws, but they were looking toward something happening to take care of all that. And it did. But now we're looking at a Jesus Christ that now not only eradicated sin for the people that loved him, he eradicates sin for the people that don't like him. Amen? Fifth sealed Jew. But he had to, because he is the one that put them in that place. That's a just and righteous God. He blinded them. He blinded his own children to get me and you here. He loved us so much. He blinded and divorced his first wife. Hello? He divorced his first wife, Israel. He said he did. Because they went whoring, but he had to do that and then blind their eyes so that you and I could come in. And all the millions of bride that will come up in that resurrection, every one of them come out from under that. The fifth sealed Jew. If he hadn't have blinded their eyes, we would have never come. So praise God for that. To me, talking about justification. He was just enough. Not just enough. He was just enough. To he did it to him, and he's the only one that can impart eternal life. And he imparted eternal life to him because he's the one that made him do that. I love God. He's perfect in what he does. And there's a fifth sealed Jew there, though, to show me and you that we weren't looking for him either. We were blasphemous. We were sinners. He came looking for me. And his expressed job was to eradicate your sin. Yes, sir. That was his job. You want to call God, give God a job? Jesus Christ had a job. He had a job to where the Father can't see your sins no more forever. Oh, come on. Praise God. That was his job. To eradicate your sins and to look and to show me there's a just God. Listen, the devil's not just. He's not fair. You can't ever say God's not fair. God's fair. You and I are not, but God's fair. Satan is not. He hates being fair. Because listen, he hates truth. But a righteous judge is the only one that can tell the truth. Because he's justified. Amen. And guess what he done? I've told you before. He justified you. Yes, he did. Amen. When he took your sins away. Amen. Oh, please, don't ever forget Calvary. Don't ever forget what God did for us. Amen. We can talk about message all we want to, but just do not forget just simple salvation. Amen. That God picked you before the foundation of the world. Amen. Hid you from Satan. Yes. In the womb of your mama? Oh, come on, somebody. But when you came out, you came in Satan's world. But he knew by predestination. So he just put somebody with you. He put your special angel with you to walk you through life. As Brother Joe, we were talking about, if God saw you at a certain place, there's no way Satan's going to get you till that. No way. Because remember, God can't change his mind. Oh. I hope we catch that. Yeah, we were predestinated. We were predetermined. But in God's mind, not mine and yours. We have peanut brains, as Daddy always said. We have peanut brains. God don't have that. So he walked us right through this journey to get us to his point to give us eternal life. Oh, thank God. Everything you went through, everything your life took a turn this way or this way or that way or that way, was ordained of God. You responded to the call. That's what makes you different than the world. And you submitted yourself to the call. See, Satan had a call. Sorry, Lucifer had a call. To be the anointed cherub, to be the song leader, to be the one that says, hey, you do this. God said, you take care of that. Brother Ram called him God's right-hand man. Right-hand man. Boy, you got a right-hand man. That's the guy that helped you. Well, until iniquity was found in his heart, until he wanted to be up here instead of down here. I don't know how I got off on that, but praise the Lord. John 17, that's just where Jesus is coming to the end of his life. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, I'm just going to throw them out there and just let them just flounder around like a fish out of water. That's not what he said. He said, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And he, what? He equipped us and them for a job. Remember, Brother Bram said, if God sends somebody, he don't just send them, he goes in them. Do we really believe that? He went in us. Took us through the journey, through all of our faults and failures and ideas. He was right there. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He saved. You didn't get saved 2 days before God saw you get saved. You got saved the day you got tired of being tired. Sick and tired of getting sick and tired. Oh, praise God. Oh, salvation, folks. I'm telling you. Don't ever lose it. You know, you can't lose your salvation, but you can lose the joy of it. As we sang the song, restore unto me the joy. Brother Bram said David didn't lose his salvation, he lost the joy of it. We got to get back to get to the joy of that salvation. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I send them into the world. And for their sake, Jesus is doing something for a group of people. He has set himself aside so that you can be set aside. And for their sake, I sanctify, come apart, apart from the world, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. See, we can turn and look at the guy that is our justifier, he's our sanctifier, and he's our Holy Ghost filler, one person, Jesus Christ. Amen. We ain't got to look over here and find another. It's right there, that one person. Amen. Talk to that one person. Talk to him. Talk to him like he's your friend. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them in 2024, September the 1st, also which shall believe on me through their word. Oh, praise God. John 20:21, then Jesus said to them, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. See, that's the same thing. That's the same thing the Holy Ghost did in the Garden of Eden, as we were talking about this morning. Same thing. Same guy, same breath. Made Adam a son of God. Remember, he's the only one in the Old Testament. But he wasn't born and then given that. He was given that at full birth. So he couldn't be our brother. He didn't have a belly button. Hey, man, he wasn't born from a womb. So Jesus Christ had to come and have a belly button. Go ahead and have a belly button. Praise God. He did. He chose it that way. Because we look down, we might can see ours. I don't know if you can see it or not. Whosoever, let's continue on. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. You see this? You read this? He has transferred that power to you and me. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. You watch what you do with people. You watch what you say about people. And this is a quote where they said in the Greek lexicon that the only two times that word's used is he breathed on Adam and he breathed on the people before the upper room. Let me ask you a question. They asked Brother Branham a question. Why do you think God did that? Why do you think Jesus Christ did that? He didn't have to. Right? He didn't have to breathe on them for them to get the Holy Ghost. So there was already a promise in the upper room. It was already promised that you go and be endued with power from on high. That's what happened in the beginning. The commentator said here. If it happened in the beginning and man fell, to get man back up, he had to breathe on him and say, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." That's what I look at. I mean, if that was spoken, then man fell, then something's got to be spoken, and it had to be the same guy that spoke there, that spoke here. Amen? And for us to be raised back up. Because remember, that was the fall, and we're going to be what? We're going to do away with the fall. You and I in this end time are going to do away with the fall. Dear Brother Brandon, what's the difference when Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost," when they had to go to the upper room to tarry? It was a promise he gave them. Breathed upon them his promise and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." It was a promise. He was so, you know, that to receive that was so strange because nobody ever received it. Everybody with me? Adam was the only one and he's gone. So he actually walked them through the whole process before he left. He was so gracious to say, "You're going to receive this. Go and tarry in Jerusalem, but this is how you're going to get it. You're going to go to the upper room, and eternal life is going to be breathed into your nostrils." They went to the upper room to wait for the promise to be fulfilled. The same thing is when we lay hands upon you to be healed, then you go on about your business waiting for the promise to be fulfilled. So the Holy Ghost, there's always a promise. And watch what John the Baptist said. John the Baptist said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Amen. All right? Amen. The Holy Ghost is a timid gentleman. Amen? But there has to be a fire to burn the old you out first. Amen. Justification chops off your past sin. Sanctification drives the unclean spirit out. God's trying to clean this mess up. Then he comes in with the Holy Ghost and burns all a fire that you will not ever be acquainted with until you get the Holy Ghost. Because he burns it out. There's no smoke. There's no literal fire. He comes in and actually takes that old nature and takes it completely out of you. Oh, praise God. If you had never been born again, you ought to try it. Oh, yeah, we're going to fight that old nature all the time, folks. Because remember, Satan's still alive. He's right here, and he's still got it in his hand. God don't see it, but Satan still got it right here, and everywhere you go by, he goes. Right? Well, pray for me then. If y'all all don't say amen, pray for me. Because he does me. He knows where I live. Luke 24:49 says, "Behold, I send," here, "a promise upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, or till I sink inside of you." I'm not going to come just be with you. I'm going to come and be in you. So there's no message to the first age. We talked about that. There was an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Peter was a spokesperson. Then what happened? Then they said, how do we get saved? And what does Peter say? He says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And what? You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost for what? The promise. Here we go with the promise again. The promise is to you and your children and to them that are far off, even as many of the Lord our God shall call. But then after all that, we had to wait on a prophet to come, a divine reveal of the word. Paul could take that Old Testament and make it sound like it's just for me and you, and it is. But he took that Old Testament that we looked at, the law and the killings and the eye for an eye and the do this and don't do that, and he took it and brought it right into the New Testament, and he just made it more plain than ever before. That's a divine revealer of the Word of God, which means God spoke directly to Paul, and Paul spoke directly to you and me. All right? Now, I don't say William Seymour and Peter that God didn't do the same, but he didn't do it in the scale that he did it, because Paul was the first church age messenger. He was in the Bible. Brother Branham was the last church age messenger, Malachi 4, so he's in the Bible. All right? So being in the Bible, they're divine revealers of the Word of God. We had to have that. We had to have that in this age, a divine revealer. Now, Brother Branham wasn't divine. Come on, he was human. We were talking downstairs. Listen, if God hadn't protected that man, he'd have been a murderer and tried to commit suicide twice. Listen, he didn't say he sat down on a rock and thought about it. He put the gun to his head, pulled the trigger. Nothing happened. He was up a pole, 20,000 volts. He took his glove off and reached up to get it. God wasn't protecting William Branham. He was protecting the gift that Brother Branham fit to. And he had to come to that mature part. And let's don't forget that he had a temper. And he loaded 8 shells in a gun. Huh? See, Jesus plaited ropes. That didn't kill anybody. Brother Branham loaded that gun, and he was going to kill them boys. Remember, he kept firing. He'd cock another one in, kept firing. Nothing fired. What? He'd have been a murderer. He'd have killed every one of them kids. Yeah. Well, people don't like for you to talk about that, but you know what? It just makes God, Brother Brown, human. Right. It just means that you and I, in our humanity, God can speak through us if we'll just let him. Right. Even through our flaws and through all the junk that we go through. Amen. Almost committed suicide twice. He said he had complexes. Yeah. Couldn't get rid of some things.
That's right.
Well, he was a prophet for the end time. God used a man. That's the only man he could use, or he'd use somebody else. That's the only man he could fit that to, and he preserved that man until he got to that place, till he was finished with him, and then he took him off the scene. Everybody with me on that? All right. When God's got a path for you to take, when he's finished with that, he's finished with it. Because remember, he don't make no mistakes. Now, he may let you, as he did Hezekiah, give you 15 more years. But remember, Hezekiah was in bad shape for 15 years. He should have went 15 years ago when God got ready to take him. Just be ready to go when God calls. So Brother Branham said, no messenger through the age, because the Holy Ghost came himself in the fullness of the baptism. So what's going to happen is God's going to baptize these people with the Holy Ghost. And he's going to restore the gifts to the church, but he's going to reform them in a part of the word that Brother Branham is going to restore. All right? One more time. Azusa Street, they had flaws in their doctrine. God is not ever in a false doctrine. He's not the author of it, and he hates it. Remember, we went through that. He hates Nicolaitism. He hates Jezebel religion. He hates all that stuff. God hates that. But he allowed it to happen to prove his point, to prove who you and I can make it through. We all came out of that mess. If you didn't come all out of that mess that I'm talking about, then you were messed up anyway when you came out.
Right.
But that predestinated seed don't ask no questions. is thoroughly convinced that it's God moving according to the promise. You okay in there? Okay. For those of you who can't see, June walked in the study. She's got a cramp, so just pray for her cramp. A little further up the road, really, than Azusa Street. See, Brother Branham's standing, and it is funny, but it's not. He's standing actually in the gap between the headstone and the babies. Amen. And he's pulling them, saying, look, you've got all this. Your bag is full of the gifts of God. Why are you not using them? We got to get over here to the headstone. We got to get over here to the maturity part. We still want to just feel good. We still want to just speak in tongues. We still want to just, and Brother Branham was, that's why it's called a pull. God pulled him through all that. God pulled you through all that. And he's pulling you to where he's pulling us up and out of here. That's why that headstone is pulling us up. Praise God that God's in control of this thing and we're not. A little further up a road, really, than Azusa Street we should be. The church should be up here. I'm sure he went like this, not down like this. It started with weeping, crying, coming to God. And it fell away, fell way away. And here's something up here that the church should be up to. Now, what year was that? That was 1962. The seals hadn't opened yet, but they're getting ready to be open because that's in November. The seals opened in March of 63. So he's feeling the pull. Amen. Be convinced, then concerned. Be convinced. Listen, Brother Branham, his message never shut the doors of the Pentecostal churches. He never shut a door of the Baptist church. His message never eradicated any doctrine. Neither did Jesus. Come on. Caiaphas just come right on out and did the same thing the next morning after they killed Jesus. Right? They just kept right on after Brother Branham got took off the scene. They just kept right on making denominations, right? But there's a group of people inside of that. Listen, folks, this is the secret coming of the Lord. It's me and you. It's not the denominations. It's me and you. We're working under the cover of the end time message. Kind of like a covert operation that God's doing, not us. But he's got us sitting everywhere, all over the country and the world. And the world's going, well, I think God may come this, I think it's this guy. Well, I think it's this person. I think it's that person. Well, let's go follow this one. We know where we're at. We know what we got. We just got to start using it. We know who we are. You got to realize, as the prophet said, who you are and what you're doing here. You're here to defeat the devil. (clears throat) 1962 in the countdown. Brother Branham said, did there come on Azusa Street where they left the ground and hit the air through the baptism of the Holy Ghost? God took the church from an earthbound creed into a solo flight in the air. Solo flight, all right? You okay? She's fine. She's just resting. Okay. Just as the airplane come in, the Holy Ghost came in behind it. 1906, Azusa Street. 1905, the first fixed-winged airplane. God don't make mistakes. Amen. But now they did. Now listen, they stayed there. They love the airplane. We all love the airplane. We can fly all over the place with an airplane. But if you really want to go out of space, you can't do it in an airplane. You got to get in a rocket. Azusa Street never seen those things. Listen. That hasn't been since Christ. What's he talking about? His message. The restoration of the gifts plus the restoration of the word. Amen. Azusa Street never seen those things. That hasn't been since Christ was on earth. What's he identifying? The Son of Man ministry was not at Azusa Street. Right. Hello? Right. But the Son of Man is through his message. The Son of Man is going to appear now in the end time. So Azusa Street never seen those things. Oh, they saw the great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. For 3 days they had service. 3 days. I'm talking about morning, night, morning, night, morning, night. They had 3 days full service. One time, And I guess they got so tired they had to quit. But wow. But it was the power of God and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. It wasn't false. The Holy Ghost is not false. It did what it's supposed to do at that point in time with the people. Daddy Seymour, Parham, all the different ones, they were there because God put them there. Now watch. Brother Brown said, and Christ is on earth now in the form of the Holy Spirit. Watch. In its fullness. Trying to get you away from these earthbound things to lift you up into his presence. Now, we've been a long time since Azusa Street. We've been a long time since Brother Brown's message. We should be astronauts flying in the atmosphere, out of the atmosphere. Now, the Pentecostals, now look, one of his eyes was out, a colored brother, who really started the Pentecostal message in California, old Azusa Street. He was laughed at, and because he was a Negro, he was made fun of. But he brought a message for that age. God works in strange ways, doesn't he? Just a little body, a fella could hardly sign his own name. But the Lord had revealed to him that this was the age for the restoration of these gifts. Now, not the restoration of the word. Restoration of the gifts. The word restoration had to come by a word prophet. William Seymour was not a word prophet. He was used of God. But he was not a restorer. He was still in the Reformation. Huh? That's why it took Brother Branham. It took a prophet to come. As he said, a prophetic prophet. And that's what we're under. There's no other messenger to this age. This is the going home age. There's no messenger coming. This is it. That's why Brother Ram's message, when he got killed in 1965, that's it. You ain't going to hear no more. You're not going to hear something past what his message is. Amen. We got to get right with what he's already said.
Amen.
All right, now look. No matter what said, it comes. So in other words, a part of whatever they were, God was going to bring the Holy Ghost on Azusa Street in 1906. But everybody got in the atmosphere of it. And seen it was that age. You ought to read that book. You ought to get that book and read it. Azusa Street, I think it's a 100-year celebration book. But they had all, they had the sweetness of the Lord during that whole time. They had people from all over the world, blacks and whites sit together. That was the whole thing. The people on the outside was going, look, Parham was a segregationist. He wouldn't let the black people in. Remember, he let Daddy Seymour sit on the outside and listen to his classes. Because they couldn't segregate. But see, God had to move that out of the way because he don't like that segregation like that. So he brought a one-eyed black man. He gave him the Holy Ghost, set him right down in the middle of the church, and said, listen to what that guy's got to say. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. God's going to have his way. It doesn't matter. But everybody that got in the atmosphere of it, seen it was that age, and seen God vindicate that those people could speak with tongues and so forth, it happened. But then when he went and pinned it down to this is the only evidence that killed it. Remember Brother Branham says one time they cabbage down on that gifts. And God moved on. Then they started separating and making denominations. One coming on the cloud and coming on the bush. But Malachi 4 was given to do two things as we were talking about. Excuse me. A matured bride went in the ground, come back on Azusa Street as untrained babies. So there had to be somebody to turn. You know what turn means? Turn. Turn. And sit them in another direction. All right? In the heart of the children of the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Brother Branham came with those Pentecostal babies and was to bring them to maturity, but they didn't, none of them come. Oh, they came to a place. You and I, listen. Once Brother Brown passed away, that's when the mature group showed up. Because they started pulling out and making churches, full gospel, spoken word church. I mean, we were started in 1971. That wasn't but 6 years after he passed away. Amen? We were actually one of the churches that was like, this is a message church. Because a lot of them stayed in Pentecost. Hello? I'm telling you, we saw it back then. A lot of them stayed in Pentecost or tried to bring Pentecost with them.
Yeah.
The experience, yes. The denomination, no.
Amen?
Amen? So we were the Pentecostal babes. You and I, listen, if you're born again, you had a Pentecostal experience.
Yes, right.
Amen.
Come on. You had a Pentecostal experience.
Amen.
If you didn't, you're not born again. Now, you don't have to speak in tongues. We see that now. But they thought so much of it till they built a denomination on it. Well, once they built a denomination, like I said before, there's not ever been a denomination been done away with as far as I know. They just build more. I'm going to split from this, and I'm going to split from that. Well, now you see the same thing in the message churches. There's full gospel tabernacles, and then there's the first church of the full gospel tabernacles. Then there's a second church of the full gospel tabernacles, and they just keep branching off, right? Come on, they do. I'm sorry. But remember, Satan wants to get in this. He's already got that. Let me give you one more shocker. Satan wants this to fail more than he wants that to fail out there. Because if this fails, he's got the whole world. That's what he wants. That's his problem. He wants everything God's got and be God. I just want to be his bride. I'll take the promise. I'll take what he's got. I'll take the Holy Ghost. And I'll let him mature me up the stature of a perfect man. That's enough for me. I don't want to go ahead of my headship. Amen? Because when we do, we assert ourselves above. That means we know more than God does. And they ain't a person I know. Being led by the Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Being led of the Holy Spirit. 1950. Now, this is 1956. We read this morning. We'll start talking about the gifts here in just a second. He was in a vision. All right? And there was a latest string, a nice eighth of an inch tape, real nice. He said, you can't teach Pentecostal babies supernatural things. Now, if you were a Pentecostal listening to that, you'd think, man, you're crazy. All we see is supernatural gifts. But they didn't have the word to back it up.
Amen.
They didn't have the word to back it up. They just had the gifts, and that's it.
Right.
Now, look, he said, you'll cause carnal impersonations. And Brother Branham didn't cause it. Satan caused it.
Amen.
Remember, blood in the hands, oil on the head, and all that stuff. And that was all carnal comparisons.
That's
or impersonations.
Yeah. That's right.
He said, you'll cause. Remember the angel of the Lord said, look, quit explaining it. Just put it out there. And if they believe it, they believe it. If they don't, they don't. But Brother Branham just kept explaining everything he did. He got rebuked for that. Now, 1964, the seals have opened. How many have told you the angel of the Lord in that pillar of fire that met me up there told me to be sincere? If I'd be sincere, it would come to pass. I would know the very secret of the heart. How many remembers that? He said it would be that way.
Right.
Now, how many remembers that he promised that it would continue on?
Yeah.
And not long ago, for a vision, he promised about that pull of that line. He said, you can't teach Pentecostal babies supernatural things. And when I made the third pull, he said, now don't tell anybody about this. In other words, quit explaining it. We'll get into the pulls when we get into Brother Branham's ministry. And when I made the third pull, he said, now don't tell nobody about this. You've been trying to explain that other. Don't tell nobody about this. This is the great and final pull. That's why, folks, it's just to us.
Amen.
It's not to anybody else. I'm sorry. That's what God said through a prophet. It's not for Pentecostal babies. It's for mature people that can eat strong meat. As Paul said, I've come to you and I've give you baby food. But in time now, you need to eat strong meat. Corinthians, there he is again right here, 1 Corinthians 12. He goes back again to them. Tries to get them straightened up. And they do, to a degree. So let's read this. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand, now this is Paul telling the Corinthians, right, that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, right, and then that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So he's putting the Holy Ghost in the forefront. You got to have the Holy Ghost, right? You got to have the Holy Ghost through Jesus Christ, not these gifts. Come on. For in the forefront, you got to have the Holy Ghost to understand what these gifts are. If not, you're going to be just like Pentecost. You're going to try, you're going to shoot toward the target, but you're never going to hit it.
Amen.
Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit.
Right.
And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations. We have song leaders, we have musicians, we have responsive reading, we have pastors, we have elders, we have deacons. That's the operation of the church.
Yes, right.
But it's the same God which worketh all in all.
Yes.
But the manifestation of the Spirit, now watch, to manifest the Spirit, this is what it's going to be. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. All right, is everybody with me? Wake up. This is the only service now that you don't need to sleep through because you ain't got to sleep through no more. Unless you just do it real early in the morning. Bless your heart. For to one, now not one person, all right? He's dividing it up. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. That's the first one. Of the nine spiritual gifts is wisdom. And we'll break them down later on. Don't have time. We have communion. To another, the word of knowledge. Now look, what's his emphasis? By the same Spirit.
Amen.
To another, faith. We're not even got to tongues yet. Wisdom, knowledge, faith. To another, the gifts of healing. Now, do you see that word? I'm the kind of guy that I'm like Brother Richard Wilson. If one word got us out of the garden, one word wrong is not going to get us back in. So I look at every word. Like Brother Branham, he said, look, he said, I want y'all to know, he said, rapture and faith lies in, not on. This is on. This is words written on a page. But what's inside of that is what's going to rapture us. I like what Brother Richard Wilson, we were talking about something, talking about different doctrines. He said, Brother Branham said a lot. Because every major doctrine that's false came from Brother Branham, quote. So we got to get the essence of the message. We got to get what God's saying, the Spirit saying to the church. All right, everybody with me? All right, so the rapture in faith lies in. We got to dig in to get it. On the surface, it'll kill you. Paul said, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. We're fixing to eat Jesus' flesh and drink his blood according to the Bible.
Yes.
I'm sorry, according to what he said.
Yeah. Right.
Amen?
Right.
Quote. Got a quote for it. But we know what we dig in. Paul dug in for us and told us what to do.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Let's dig into what the Spirit says to the church, not exactly the A's and these and buts. All right? All right, now look. The gifts of healing. Why did he say gifts? Why is gifts of healing plural? There's two kinds. There's instant healing, right? And then there's divine healing, which takes a length of time. So there are gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. We haven't got to tongues and interpretations yet. I've seen a miracle in my life. You seen a miracle in your life? Me standing right here is a miracle in my life. But I've seen other miracles. Things that were strange that shouldn't have come to pass that they did. That's a miracle. See, sometimes we think we don't have gifts in the church because we hadn't spoken in tongues or prophesied. We ain't even got to that yet. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. We're not there, tongues yet.
No.
But we're fixing to be. The last two is the one they major on. I say people that look for gifts in a church. Mm-hmm. To another, many kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues.
Right. Amen.
Wow. So that's the end of it. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. In other words, God gives a gift out severally as he will.
Amen.
All right? Remember he said, Brother Branham said that God could use some, get one sister, raise her up, speak in tongues, somebody else, interpret, and never use them again.
Amen.
Right? Amen. But it would be of God, and it would be something that was in the church.
Amen.
So God's sovereign when he does that. But what we have to do is we have to make ourselves available. Because here's the problem. I'm going to read it in just a minute. Why did we get gifts? Why is there gifts given in the body of Christ? All right? For as the body is one. Now watch. For the body is one and hath many members. Now watch, though. Paul's going to reverse that in a minute. And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we bond or free, and have all to drink into one Spirit. Now watch. For the body is not one member, but many.
Amen.
We got to see the diversity of gifts. There's one giver, unless Satan gets involved, but there's one giver. That Spirit is a capital S, so we know that's the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God. If we have these things working, we've got one giver, and we've got many gifts given to each one of us. All right? So why? Why do we have gifts? We haven't talked about them in a long, long time. Why do we have gifts? You ready? Brother Brown, 1964, Jesus on the authority of the word. Now, this is the truth of God. That's the truth. Anything contrary to that is not truth. But what that is to the nations, to the people, he's talking about the plan of salvation. But to the individual. Now watch this. Watch how he words this. But to the individual. Then something, after God sending his word this way and ministers to preach it, he sent to the church apostles, prophets, gifts of tongues, interpretation of tongues. That's all for the edifying or the keeping clean of the church. Bringing the church together, but what is it, watch what he says, separating out what? Separating out the sin.
Amen.
Watch. 1960, what it takes to overcome all unbelief. First is apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. These five God-given gifts are in the church. So each of you people who has a godly pastor has a gift from God in your church, a shepherd. Pastor means a shepherd to watch over the flock, to teach them the word of God. Then these other nine different spiritual gifts, now he's on the spiritual nine gifts we just talked about, should be operated in the church to keep the church clean.
Right.
Like Ananias and Sapphira. Now, Brother Brown, I didn't bring it, but you know, Brother Brown said that would come back into the church. And you know what happened, right?
Amen.
Right? Ananias and Sapphira was a husband and wife team. And they conspired to hold back a little bit of money, but tell the body that that's all they had.
Amen.
Right. Seemed pretty innocent. But that's not what God told them to do. I was thinking yesterday on this. You know what they did? They held back some tithes. What it was the gain on what they sold. They said, I've got 50,000, they got 60. That's what they said. I mean, I'm not talking about the money, but that's what they did. And they conspired in their home to tell the same story, because he told it, he died, and she comes in and she tells them the exact same story. And remember what happened. Peter said, you didn't lie to me. He said, you lied to the Holy Ghost. We must be careful what we say. Because there is an Ananias and Sapphira time coming again. That if we don't keep the church clean, God's going to keep it clean.
Amen.
Not trying to scare you, but I just praise God. Bring it.
Amen.
We're here. We need to get out of here. This is what we need to get out of here. Because that's what he said. Watch. Like Ananias and Sapphira and so forth, the Spirit of God rise up, call somebody out and tell them they're living wrong. Wow, we get embarrassed when we holler at somebody. This says, call them out in the sanctuary. Tell them they're living wrong and rebuke that sin openly. That's what the Holy Spirit is in the church for, to keep the church clean. Look, and ready for the coming of the Lord. We believe that. Now, then these other gifts come into the church. Now, after the pastor, then there's evangelists, and then there's teachers, and then there's the prophets, because that's to perfect the saints.
Amen.
The gifts won't do it. Come on, the gifts won't perfect the saints.
Yeah, right.
Apostles, prophets, pastors. The word is what perfects us.
Yes. Amen.
And then there's apostles. And all these things working together with the gifts keeps the church perfected and clean and ready for the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
Convinced and concerned, 1962. If you believe this to be, this is a prayer line. If you believe this to be the Spirit of God, then it's condemning you. That's right. And how are you going to be condemned? The guilty of the least is guilty of the whole. You know to do better. Somebody said, as I made a remark last night, someone said to me, Brother Branham, why don't you leave off them women? Leave off them men. Quit doing that. Said, people think you're a prophet. He said, I'm no prophet. The person said, well, people claim you to be, though. Why don't you teach them how to receive spiritual gifts? I said, how can I teach them algebra when they don't even know their ABCs? That's the Pentecostal babies he's fighting with. They don't have common decency. I'm reading what he said. They don't have common decency enough to clean themselves up and act like Christians. How are you going to tell them spiritual things about heavenly things? That's right. Let the Pentecostal church, I bet you, where's this preached at? Tabernacle? No, Tempe, Arizona. Probably to a bunch of Pentecostals.
Right.
Let the Pentecostal church straighten itself out, get right with God, and I'll prove to you that the Holy Ghost will come right in. They thought they already had it. While this, the church will be so full of the power of the Holy Ghost, there can't be one member do one sin. Now, wow. The Holy Ghost will call it out like Ananias and Sapphira, right? But you can't do it when you won't even take your kindergarten training.
Amen.
Grow up. He's telling them, grow up, quit being babies. I've taught you maturity for all these years, and you're still acting like a baby. I'm just reading what the Brother Brown said. 1963, the world falling apart. We wonder today why the gifts and things are not in the church operating the way they should. Why the gifts are put in the church to separate and take sin out to keep the church clean. It's God's toxin that's given to the church. It's God, also his disinfectant, in other words, that he puts into the church to kill out all the parasites. That tear up the church. And God sprays his church over with his word. And that keeps all the termites out, you know. So the church can grow, a plant. And God knows what it takes to do it.
Amen.
Finish right here. We'll get ready for communion. 1 Corinthians 13:8. Kind of correlates with Hebrews 13:8. Charity never fails. Now, that word, we know that word's agape. Anywhere you see charity right there, you look in the Greek, that's agape. Agape love, not filial love, agape love. Charity never faileth, but whether they be prophecies, they'll fail. Whether they be tongues, they will cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. All right? But when that which is perfect is come. Now, Paul's going to tell you right here, he's looking at it, but he can't see it.
Yeah.
Come on. He's looking at it, but he can't see it. I'll tell you, watch. But when that which is perfect is come, the cleaning up of the church, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. It's not a problem being a child. It's staying one. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away the things I used to think. For now we see through a glass, look, darkly. So he's looking at with his spiritual eye, but remember now, he's in the lion age, L-I-O-N. He's not in the eagle age. He's in the lion age. He's got a lot of power, but he can't see very far over the grass. But he knows in his spirit, though, that there's a power coming that he hadn't even seen before. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. In other words, he knows part what's going on, but he ain't going to exactly know what's going on until he comes back here.
Amen.
And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is agape love. Agape love break out in the church. You'll see the gifts. Oh, well, hear them. But you'll see the gifts. You'll see the gifts operate in the church when we have love one for the other. And then what's going to happen is, though, once we declare that, is when God's going to start cleaning the church up. And I don't say we're not clean. But I'm saying the gifts are given to the church to keep us clean. So we must be, we go through seasons.
Amen.
Well, pray for me. I'm sorry, y'all come sometimes you look at me like, pray for me. I go through seasons, ups and downs, ins and outs, valleys, and they're not even big mountains anymore. They're just kind of like humps. It don't say get on the hump with God. It says get on the mountain with God. But we go through these things, but it's to keep us clean, to keep us to where God can. God's not going to dwell in an unclean vessel.
Right.
How can a clean thing come out of a dirty?
Right.
How can a well of water bring bitter and bring clean? It can't. We got to get rid of all this stuff. These, Paul said this weight, W-E-I-G-H-T, this weight that so easily, he said, besets us. That we can run this race. Looking toward who? Not Paul, not Brother Branham, Brother Dale number two. But Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. I wish I could give everybody so much faith we'd take a rapture. I would. But I can't do that. You gotta have faith. You gotta have belief. You gotta pray. You gotta do those things. As Brother Ryan said, you gotta read your Bible. I'm not going to read it for you. I'm going to pull out some scriptures for you, but you may not have needed this today, but somebody did. You may need another scripture tomorrow. Let's stand to our feet. How is this right here eternal? That's just 66 books. It looks like it's got a beginning, and it looks like it's got an end. Everybody with me? But this is the eternal word of God. And if you can't see that, sometimes somebody will read a scripture and you'll say, when did they put that in there? Well, pray for me. I'm sorry. Y'all may be at perfection, like Sister Cleta said. Pray for us. We have problems. But that's why the Word of God is eternal. To me, it has layers. It's just like dimensions. You just step over in this dimension, you read this part. This is for you. You step over in another dimension, you may read the same thing again. And it means something totally, not mean, but mean to you something that you need today that you didn't need yesterday. Because it is just in, that's it. That's all we got. But remember, when that goes in here, see, that's where you're written epistles. You live the Word of God. You are the Word. It goes from here, and it spreads out into millions of people, the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads just for a moment. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for the brothers and sisters that are gathered around your word, Lord, to hear from you. Father, I pray now as we take this communion, Lord, that you'll bind all the spirits, Lord, that's trying to work against the church, Lord, and your word. And Lord, I pray that you'll be with each one, that we'll bind together so close, as Brother Brown said, bind together more and more. And push Satan out. Don't give him a crack that he can climb into. Lord, I pray that charity, the agape love of God will just come among us as a church, Lord. And it will just seal us all together and just give us strength for our journey, Lord. And we do need those gifts. You're a gift giver. And you said you'd give these gifts. And Lord, I pray that you'd give these gifts to our church, our assembly here, Lord. That we use that gift of wisdom and knowledge and divine healing and miracles and also even tongues and interpretations, Lord. Just whatever you see fit, Father, to keep us clean, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll get started in communion. If anybody has a need, I'll promise you one thing. I've seen somebody healed by taking communion. So you ain't got to come up here. You just believe that you're doing the ordinance that God told us to do 2,000 years ago. And he said, do this till I come. And when he does that, he can't break his promise, can he? That's what he promised us. That we would come to a place to where we wouldn't even have to lay hands on the sick. But it's still in the Bible. But there come a time when we come into, as the prophet of God said, speaking condition. What a mighty God we serve. Let's read our communion script. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 through 34. All right. For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it, saying, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament. Remember, the testator had to die to bring a New Testament in. Is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. But wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. That's why we tarry just for a moment. Examine yourself. God, is there anything in my life? And if I need to go, bring it to my attention. And I'll go get it straight. Brother Bram said, go ahead and take communion. He said, but you better go get that straight. All right? Get it straight. Take your communion. Get it straight. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Listen, if you're born again, you'll never be judged with the world. Oh, praise God. You'll never be judged with it. This world is falling under judgment right now. Amen. If you're born again, you pass from death into life. You pass this judgment that's coming to this earth because God said it would. Amen. But we've already been judged because there was one went to Calvary 2,000 years ago, and this is the man right here that's getting ready to go. And he's telling us what to do. Wherefore, my brother, when you eat together, brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. If anybody don't know what that 34th verse means, Paul would come to the Corinthians, and they would just have like a feast and get drunk and eat mutton and eat all, you know, they just had like a regular dinner and was getting drunk at the Lord's table. He said, don't do that. He said, go eat at home. This is not, communion is not going downstairs and eating supper. Right? It's a solemn thing. It's done with bread that basically has no taste at all. It's flat. Amen? And the wine sometimes bitter. So this is not going to be a meal that you're going to brag about and put in the paper. Come on. But that's what they were doing. And he said, don't do that. And I'll do more for you when I come back. Because he did have to come back in 2 Corinthians and talk to him again. But not about the communion. He was the one that, see, there's Paul. That was not there on that night. Peter, James, John, they were all there. Paul was not there. But God, through the Holy Ghost, through a divine revealer of the word called Paul, set that thing in order. God knows what he's doing. He does not miss anything. The Bible said he took bread and blessed it. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, this bread has been made with holy hands, Lord, not going to be held over tomorrow. It's going to be taken and burnt, Lord, so that the new word will come, Lord. And this new wine, Lord, that we're going to partake to, Lord. Give a stimulation of revelation, Father. I pray that you'd bless each one. Be with the ones that are sick that couldn't be here today, Lord. I pray that you'd protect them. Just comfort them, Lord, and be with them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, you know, even when they had the Passover, the children of Israel, that lamb was just roasted. It didn't have spices on it. It was just a roasted piece of meat. And the Bible tells us that God told them to eat bitter herbs with it. Not sweet, good stuff that, like I said, you write home to mama about. No. Bitter herbs. Put your shoes on. Huh? He said, because we're getting out of here. Or you're getting out of here. I don't want you to be fat and comfortable and sitting in your lounge chair. Hello? He said, I want you to have your staff in your hand. I want you to eat this. This ain't going to be a meal you'll like. But it's going to be a symbolic meal that is going to get you out of here. Why? Because remember, the Word of God, pretty sharp. Pretty powerful. But it's got the most stimulation to revelation you'll ever know in your entire life. Google ain't got nothing on God. Nothing at all. He knew Google before there was a Google. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, this wine has been made for one purpose, Lord. And that's for us, Lord, to partake of it, as you said, Lord, to eat this bread and drink this cup, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, we'll remember you when we turn this cup up, that you went to Calvary and bled. They cut you up like hamburger meat, the prophet said. You were unrecognizable. But, Lord, when you came out of that tomb, didn't matter what you looked like. You said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. So, Father, you have the power now to change lives. You have the power by the Holy Ghost to give us gifts in the church, Lord, to keep us clean and to sanctify us for this journey that we're on, Lord. I pray, Father, that we will remember you when we do this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. I'll rest neath the evergreen tree. I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Oh, what a wonderful time. Come morning, there's glory for me. Sometimes I'm despised and rejected. You sure will, because he was. And I question, oh, Father, how long? Then I take one more look at Mount Calvary, and it gives me the strength to go on. You know, he hung there for 3 hours. Most horrible death you could have. 3 hours. And stayed there long enough to say it's finished. And then he died. But that wasn't it. Brother Brown said, when he said it's finished, he said it wasn't all finished. He meant it was finished on earth for him to be here. And he was going to go away. But his work just started. Come back on the day of Pentecost, 50 days later. Started right over again in a group of people. A many-membered body, not just one body. But, you know, Jim's family, you know, talking about the hair and all, I know some of you heard it before. But to me, it's a testimony to the things that we go through. And don't lie to yourself. We had fun in the world. Why? Because that was the prince of the world was in us. Right? But we don't want that no more. But it's a fight and a struggle. Jesus knew that. He said, put your burdens on me. Give me your problems. I'll take them to hell. I'll take them to hell when I go down there, and I'll kick them over in there and shut the door. That's what Christ did for me. I don't know about you. But that's what God did for me. He went to hell for me. He died on a cross for 3 hours. So what's the sisters with your hair? And I know it takes a long time because I'm with June. It takes a long time to fix your hair. It takes a long time to do these things. You got enough? Okay. But if he can hang there for 3 hours. Listen, he didn't hang there. Listen to me. He didn't hang there as God. Because God don't bleed. Amen. God don't feel pain. He hung there as the Son of Man. He hung there and took every sin, every sickness, every disease. He felt every stripe. He wasn't just some angelic being that he didn't feel nothing. No, he felt every bit of that pain. And I'm sure those Roman soldiers didn't just find a place to put the nails like they do in the Philippines. They find a place in here to put the nails so it don't bother your tendons. I don't believe they did that to Jesus. I believe they took that old dirty rusty nail and they drove it in as far as they could, as fast as they could. But he took all that for us. Because when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Let's take. Thank you, Lord. We appreciate our new deacon helping us today. Brother Anderson, thank you so much. Come in, Ryan, brother. And Brother Ryan, too. We appreciate Brother Ryan. Everybody appreciate Brother Ryan. We all appreciate Brother Ryan. I'm really beginning to enjoy Sunday school class. And Brother Ryan, you and Gabby are a good example, okay? So you don't have to back off what you said. That ain't bragging. Now, don't apologize for something good. I have never apologized for something good. My wife's good. I don't have to apologize. She's good to me. I don't have to apologize for it. So listen, if God's good to us, he gives you a wife, he gives you a husband, and they're of God, and they stay in their place and do what they're supposed to do. Brother Brown said, apart from salvation, that's your greatest gift. Praise God. Praise God for that. All right, let's go to our foot washing. We know John 13, verse 2 through 17. And supper being ended, the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God, and he went to God. Now, he's coming to a place to where he's got to know what he's doing. Right? He's got it all now. He's been on the mountain. He went up there with Moses and Elijah. Remember, Brother Brown said Moses and Elijah told him about his second coming, told him what was going to happen and all that stuff. Okay? He rises from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now. In other words, Peter, you ain't got the Holy Ghost. You're just a raw fisherman, naked, cussing fisherman. Boy, that's a good one to put in there, isn't it? But that's him. That's who Peter was. Couldn't sign his name. Made an X. Jesus answered and said, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Amen. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. See, that's another promise. There, at the day of Pentecost, they got cleaned up. But that one guy didn't. For he knew who should betray him. He knew that he was right there. Judas was right there with him. He washed Judas's feet. Knowing he was the one who was going to get him killed. That's the God. That's agape love. He went to Calvary for Judas. But Judas didn't make it. He made a wrong choice. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore, he said, you are not all clean. So after that, he washed their feet and taken his garment, was set down again. He said, know you what I have done to you? You call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. He was showing headship. All right. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, listen, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. We talked about that today. When we're standing up here, if you're a song leader, you're a servant. We're serving you. And that's the way it should be. The servant is not greater than his Lord. See, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you, are ye, if you do them. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us an example of humility. That you, the creator of the world, everything you touched, you created. But yet you took the things that you created, Lord, and you sat down and took the water. And you washed the feet of every disciple. And you dried them off and told them. You turned around and sat down and said, all right, guys, if I've done this to you, your master and Lord, then you should do it to each other. Lord, I pray that you'd give us a revelation of what this day is, the meaning of the communion. Lord, that it'll be something that we can take and continue on with, that we be servants, Lord, and that we'll bow against our own will, and that we'll bow to your will, Father. Wash our feet today, Lord. And as Peter said, not only my feet, but my hands and my head. Father, just be with us now as we go. The sisters downstairs, Lord, I pray that you'd be with the furtherman of this service and you get all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, sisters downstairs. Be reverent.